Open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, one of those verses, verse 5, is going to be the verse for you to meditate upon this week. Jesus uses a lot of figures of speech in his ministry to try to convey ideas. He could have said things in very simple, straightforward ways. But instead he uses these figures, like in John. He says, "I am the door," or "I am the good shepherd," or "I am the bread of life," "I am the light of the world," "I am the resurrection and the life." Here, he uses a figure that would have been very, very familiar to the people of the land of Palestine. They were a land that was dotted with vineyards. They were familiar with the growing of grapes. And so he draws upon their experiences, uses a figure. He could have expressed it in another way, in a very literal, straightforward way, but he uses a figure because it helps us to understand it. It colors the words for us. Let's read chapter 15 of John, beginning with verse 1 through 8. And as we read through these verses, think about why. Why does Jesus use this figure? What is his point? What does he want us to learn about relationship, our relationship with him, from this figure of speech? John 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be given, or it shall be done for you. But this is my Father, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." In this lesson, I would like to explore this figure that Jesus used here to try to uncover the meaning of this analogy that he uses, to examine the vine, the husbandman or the vine dresser, and the branches, as well as its purpose. In the land of Palestine, the vineyard would be readily familiar to the people. They would understand it very easily because they used vines, they used vineyards for their drinking. They would make these vineyards so that they could produce grapes, and with these grapes they would have food. But even more than food, more important than that, I think, was the grape juice that they would get from that, the wine that they would make from that. And it was significant, it was important to them, because the water, as is true throughout the world, really, it's really very difficult to find drinking water. Water that is palatable, that tastes good, and water that does not have a lot of germs, a lot of bacteria within it. And so they would make the grape juice, they would make the wine from these grapes, so that they could flavor their water, so that they could have a beverage to drink. They would usually dilute their water, sometimes 8 up to sometimes 16 to 1, 8 to 16 part water to 1 part wine. And what that would do is sort of flavor it for them. We have a lot of flavored drinks today. And it would also, that alcohol that would be in the wine would be enough to kill the bacteria that was in the water. And so it was a very, very useful grape for them, a very useful fruit for them to grow, for them to tend within the land of Palestine. Now, tending the vineyard would be very time consuming. Usually we think of farming as putting a seed into the ground or a small plant into the ground and having it mature and then harvesting whatever it is, whether it is grain, whether it is corn, whatever it is from that plant. And then we cut it down and we till it up and we start all over again the next season. Well, with a vineyard was a long-term process where you would plant the vine in the ground and then you would take it about 3 years before you would harvest any of the grapes. And it was a constant pruning and a constant cutting and a constant conditioning of the soil in order for these grapes to be produced and for them to be produced in a way that was of good quality. Now, here in the book of John, if we look at the context here, in chapter 13, we find that Jesus partakes of the Passover feast with his disciples. He washes their feet. He identifies who the betrayer is going to be, and he leaves. Judas leaves this scene. They eat of this Passover feast, and this is where the Lord's Supper is established. They eat of the bread, and they eat of the fruit of the vine. He begins to talk to them. So this is the night before his death. John gives us a lot of detail about what takes place the night before his death. It's from chapter 13 all the way he is arrested in chapter 18 and he is crucified in chapter 19. So all of that, and if you have a red letter edition, you find that a lot of that time is spent. A lot of the words of Jesus are recorded for us by John. So it begins there in chapter 13. They partake of the Passover feast. And then Jesus, he talks to his disciples the night before he's going to die. And he's trying to prepare them for his death. And in this preparation of his death, he is answering a question for them. What's going to happen next? Okay, you're going to die on the cross, which they didn't understand. What happens next? You have a work that you have been trying to accomplish. How is that work going to be carried out? When Jesus came to this earth, it was part of the plan of God from the foundation of the world to save mankind from sin. He comes into this world, he preaches the truth, he does these miracles, showing that he is the Son of God, and he tries to help people to change their hearts, change their lives. Ultimately, he dies upon the cross for them to have the forgiveness of sins. But then he's going back to heaven. So what's next? How is your will going to be carried out? How is what you want to be accomplished going to be accomplished on earth while you're in heaven? That's the setting of this analogy that Jesus uses here to try to help us to understand our part in the plan of God. So let's go back to chapter 15. And note the first phrase here that we want to emphasize, and that is, Jesus says in chapter 15 in verse 1, I am the true vine. He also says in verse 5, I am the vine. The vine in the vineyard is the source of life. The vine does not produce fruit itself. It has to have branches. And those branches are pruned, they're cut, they're trimmed. But it's the vine that is the stable. It's the vine that year after year is cultivated. And it is the source of nutrients for the branch that is going to produce the fruit. Jesus says, I am the vine. Now, it's true that he's going to die upon the cross. It's true that he's going to be resurrected from the dead. And it's true that he's going to go back into heaven. But that doesn't mean that his influence is going to stop. That doesn't mean that his interest in what's going to take place on the earth has ceased. That doesn't mean that he is not still the source of life for his branches, for his disciples. Jesus wants to emphasize that he is still going to be accomplishing his task on the earth because he is the source of life. Now, some in the religious world look at this verse and The way they interpret it is that the Catholic Church is the vine and the many denominations are the branches. Well, there might be several areas of discussion with that, but the main one is Jesus identifies who the vine is. He says, I am the vine. It's interesting. Notice just a chapter before this, in chapter 14, Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It's a very strong statement that Jesus made. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If we are going to go to the Father, if we're going to have fellowship with God, it must be through Jesus. A couple chapters later, in chapter 17, beginning with verse 1, Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, that with the glory which I have with you before the world was. Jesus was in a position of authority. Jesus was in a position of being ruler. Jesus was in the position of giving eternal life to whom he will, to whom the Father had given unto him. Jesus was in the position of being glorified by the Father as he glorified the Father. And Jesus says in this analogy here, I am not going to stop my work. My work is going to continue on. I am still going to be the source of life for you. We have a symbiotic relationship with Jesus Christ. We, the branch, need the vine, and the vine needs us. But the role of the vine is significant. He is the source of life. Because if you had and these men here are trimming these vines so that they would not reach the ground, one reason why they trim them so that they do not reach the ground is that if you have a vine that touches the ground, a branch, let me put it that way, a branch that touches the ground, it is going to spring roots and it's going to try to become its own vine. But the problem with that is that the fruit is going to be bitter because the nutrients, because the makeup of the fruit is in the vine. And so if the branch touches the ground, springs its own root, and tries to become its own vine, its fruit is going to be different. It's not going to be as good quality. That's why it's so important when you're planting a vineyard to get good vines. Jesus said, don't go out on your own. Don't start your own crusade. Don't start your own movement. Don't become your own Messiah. Because your fruit is not going to be right. I am the vine. And he says in verse 1, I am the true vine. You're not the vine. You're not the source of life. Someone else is not the vine. Someone else is not going to replace me. Jesus says, even though I'm about to die, I am still the source of life. I am still giving the genetic material necessary for this fruit to be sweet, for it to be the kind of fruit that I want it to produce. But let's go back to chapter 15, because there's a second being that is extremely important within this analogy that Jesus is trying to help us to see the relationship in. In chapter 15 and verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser is the husbandman, is the steward, is not the steward, but is the owner. He is the owner of the vineyard. He is the one that has the responsibility of making sure that the fruit is produced. He is the one that has the long-range goals. And so he has two jobs, Jesus says. Verse 2, chapter 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. He has two jobs. First job is to get rid of all of the leeches. Get rid of all of the branches that are not bearing fruit. Now notice that he does not say that these are branches that are dead. No, these are branches that are there. They just don't produce any fruit. It's not meeting the goal of why you have a vine in the first place. And so he cuts it off. In fact, he's going to cut it off and he's going to cast it into the fire. But the second thing that he does at the end of verse 2 is that the branch that bears fruit is pruned, is cut, so that it might bear more fruit. It's interesting that both of them are cut. The one that does not bear fruit is cut, and the one that does bear fruit is cut. Now, if you're the one being cut, how do you know the difference between whether you're being cut to be cut off or whether you're being cut to be pruned? It might be difficult because they both hurt. But the reason why he's cutting the good branch is so that that branch might bear even more fruit. You see, God is the one with the big picture. He's the one that sees what's going to take place in the harvest. Now, the branch is just being a branch, and the branch is feeling the moment. And a lot of times we get involved with life. We're the branch. We're going to identify in just a moment. We're getting involved with life, and all we see is what's here right now, what's in the immediate, what's taking place in my life right now. Well, God doesn't look at just what's right now. He's looking at a week down the line and a year down the line. He has a perspective of 5 years and 10 years. He has the perspective of 100 years and 1,000 years. He has the perspective of all eternity. So he provides the structure for which we live in. And a lot of times as we're going through life, we don't see the big picture. All we see is what's happening to us. Maybe, you know, the pruning of God, the cutting of God is sometimes a painful experience. The discipline of God is sometimes painful. He disciplines us by the Word of God. Sometimes we read and study the Word of God and we find things that we just don't like. It goes against our grain. We want to go a different way, and the Word of God is restricting us in some way. It's cutting off some areas of life. It's trying to change some attitudes that we have. And for the moment, for the immediate, we look at that and say, that's hurting me. That's painful. Quit hurting me. Word of God, you're supposed to make me feel better. Well, God is the husbandman. He is the vine dresser. He is the owner. He has the long-range view in mind. Sometimes God disciplines us by circumstances of life. Things that take place in life that He has, through His providence, brought about to being, that helps us. And as we read in the Bible, many things that help us the most are the things that hurt us, things that are difficult for us, trials and tribulations that we go through. And those trials and tribulations seem as though they're hurting for the time, but actually help us to bring forth even more fruit. That's a very difficult job that the vine dresser has, that the owner has. He's the planner. He's the forecaster. He's the one responsible for everything. You know, I'm not much of a farmer, and actually in the 6 years that we've been living here, actually it was 6 years ago today that I preached for the first time, I have grown 2 tomato plants. Sounds like a lot to get down to that, but 2 tomato plants. I've done it in the past. And I don't remember everything there is to growing tomatoes, but I have 2 plants, and one of them has nothing on it. No, there's not a single tomato, not a green one. There's nothing on that plant. And another one has 2 on it. Now, at the end of the year, who's going to get the praise or who's going to get the blame for the lack of production? Well, you could blame it on the plant or the one who made the plant, but it's going to be a reflection of me ultimately. But that's my job. And at some point, I've got a plant that is growing and it's taking up my soil. It's taking out my nutrients. It's using up the sun and the rain. And I'm going to lose patience with it. And I'm going to rip it out of the ground. And I'm going to get rid of it. Because it's just a leech. It's not doing anything for anybody else. It's just there. Now, the other plant has had a bunch of these little yellow flowers on them. And I really need to read up on this because I know that if you pull off some of those little flowers, you're going to get more fruit. Because I've done it in the past. I just forgot how to do it now because I only got two so far. But if you got to be wise. You got to be skillful in your pruning if you're going to be able to produce any fruit. Got to see the big picture. Well, that's God. God is the vine dresser. He has the big picture. He had from the foundation of the world everything in mind that he was going to accomplish so that we as the branches could produce much fruit. Chapter 15 and verse 8. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. It is God who gets the glory. When all is said and done, when all of the goodness comes out of our life, it is God that gets the glory. It's the farmer who has planted, who has cultivated, who has planned, that is able to enjoy the fruit that comes from that. Jesus gives the credit and gives the glory to the Father because he is the vine dresser. Well, Jesus also identifies one other part in this partnership, and that is the branches. We are the branches. But I want you to notice that the emphasis of Jesus, we're going to read these verses again, and as we read these verses again, I want you to notice how many times the relationship between the vine and the branches is emphasized. How many times it's emphasized in these verses? Let's start again in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Did you notice six times there, the phrase occurs in me, abide in me. Jesus is emphasizing in this analogy here, he wants us to understand the relationship that we have. Now, he could have said it very simply. He could have just said, disciples, I'm about to die tomorrow. And after I die, don't forget about me. Because you need to keep doing what I say in order for my Father's will to be accomplished. He could have said it in very literal language. But he doesn't do that. He gives us this wonderful analogy, this wonderful picture, this branch that is connected, that is not just connected, but is a part of this vine, and this vine that is a part of this branch. He wants us to understand just how important Christ is to us, but he also wants us to understand just how important we are to Christ. Again, Jesus is about to die. I mean, this is the night before. The night before, Judas has already left. He is going to be coming on his way. He is going to kiss him as the sign of betrayal. He is going to be crucified. He's going to be hung upon that tree until he dies. And he says, "It is finished." Resurrected from the dead, and he's going to go back to heaven. Christ has no hands on the earth any longer. He has no feet on the earth any longer. He has no eyes on the earth. He has no ears. He has no mouth on the earth any longer. We are the hands. We are the feet. We are the hands, the eyes. If anything that is going to be accomplished on the earth, it's going to be accomplished through us. And over again, Jesus uses this analogy here of this vine and these branches to help us to understand, to solidify in our minds. We must abide in Christ. And Christ must abide in us, or there will never be any fruit. And that's what it's all about. That's the goal of it all, is the fruit. Notice, keep your finger here in John 15, because we'll come right back, but back over in Matthew chapter 28, very familiar passage. This is after the death of Jesus Christ, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's just about to ascend to heaven, and just before he ascends to heaven, he says, chapter 28 of Matthew and verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore." Notice the connection there. All authority is the Lord. He is the one who is the ruler. He is the one who is the Lord. He is the one who has authority, and it is His will that must be accomplished. He's going back to heaven. "Go therefore." You need to go out and accomplish my work. What was the work of Jesus Christ? Jesus said when he was talking to Nicodemus, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man did not come to cure hunger. The Son of Man did not come to cure social injustice. The Son of Man did not come to cure political difficulties. The Son of Man came to seek and to save salvation of the soul, save that which was lost. Jesus has all authority. He goes back. He's going to go back up into heaven, and he tells his disciples there, "Go therefore and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Why does he want that done? Because that's the will, that's his will. That's what he wants to be accomplished. "Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you." Now notice this last phrase here. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Don't forget your connection with Jesus. We abide in Jesus, and He abides in us. Together, as a team, we are accomplishing His will. Together, as a team, we are standing up for His truth. And notice, go back to chapter 15 of John. As he says this a couple of times, in verse 4 he says, "Abide in me and I in you." In verse 5 he says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." I find that kind of strange. Usually I would think it would say, "I will abide in you, and you in me." Usually God's the one who goes first. The reason why we love God is because He loved us first. The reason why we come to Him is because He sent Jesus to this earth to die for our sin. He acts first. He demonstrates His love first, and then we respond to Him. But in both of these cases, abide in me, and I in you. We've got a choice in the matter. We are going to be attached to some vine. We are going to find our strength from something, from someone, from some ideal, from some philosophy, from some way of life. We attach ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. We understand we don't have all the answers. We understand we are dependent on something greater than ourselves. Jesus says, attach yourself to me. You abide in me, and I will abide in you. We must meet God where He is. It's true that God meets us where we are. Jesus came to the earth to die for our sins. But now He's waiting there for us. He hasn't turned His back on us. He hasn't gone anywhere. If anyone has drifted, we're the ones who've drifted. If anyone has turned their back, we're the ones that turned our back. We must come to Christ. We must abide in Him. We must let His Word abide in us. We have to make the choice to get our sustenance, our nutrition, our way of life from Jesus Christ in order for this relationship to produce what it's all about. It's all about the fruit. Let's read this again. And I want to, as we read through it, I want us to notice the goal of this. Obviously, the goal is the relationship that we have. But you know, why do people grow vineyards? Why do they grow the vine and these branches? It's because they're so pretty? I don't know, they're kind of ugly. They don't have a lot. They're not a beautiful plant. Is it because they produce a lot of good fruit? Yes, it is. Let me back up. Is it because they produce a lot of good wood? That's what I was trying to say. You know, you grow oak trees, and at the end of the process, you can cut it up and you can make some nice furniture into it. You can burn it for good wood. What do you do with a vine from grapes? When people would bring the wood to the tabernacle, to the temple for the offerings of the sacrifices, they could bring a variety of wood, but they were not to bring the wood from the grape because it's not worth anything. You don't do anything with it. You put it in a pile and you burn it. What's it all about? Well, let's read these verses. Beginning with verse 1, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire where they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. Again, notice verse 8. By this my Father, He's the owner, He's the vine dresser, He's the husbandman. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. 6 times he uses this word fruit. Several times in those he talks about much fruit. That's what our life is all about. Jesus, again, he's about to leave this earth. And from our perspective, he is not on the earth. But the will of Jesus Christ is being accomplished today. It's being accomplished today. There is much fruit in the kingdom of God today because Jesus has branches that are abiding in him, and therefore Jesus is abiding in them. Just last night, I met a preacher from Ecuador. The Britannels had him come and visit them, and they invited people to come over and meet him. Met he and his wife. I knew very little about the work in Ecuador. I heard that there was some work in Quito, the capital, but didn't know much about it. I met this man, Elijah in English, and he was telling me about the work that he was doing there in this city called Makala. And there are 70 disciples of Jesus Christ there. And they are working to spread. There is an Indian group there. They speak a different language, but they also speak some Spanish. And they're trying to work with them to try to bring them in. Because it's a group that's following the Bible. They're trying to work with them to bring them in so that they can be even larger, so that they can continue to grow, so they continue to have more fruit. Now, I, as a little branch here, I didn't know about that. The husbandman did. God knew about what was going on over there. I need to forward the email that I got from a man in London, Kentucky. He said that one of our correspondence course ladies was baptized this last week and is now a member of the church there. I don't recall her name right now. I'll try to forward that. I'll try to print that out so that announcement can be made. As this little branch here, running around in Huntsville and Madison, didn't even know that that was going on. Didn't even know that that little seed or that little grape was about ready to pop there. I didn't know that. The husbandman knew that. And if she did, which she's become a Christian now, hopefully she'll remain faithful, it's because of the source of life, which is Jesus Christ. But it's the fruit. It's the fruit that this is all about. It's the fruit of standing up for what is right. We are the light of the world. We're the salt of this earth. Someone needs to stand up and say what's right. We are living in a society that, as far as morality goes, is going further and further away from God. Homosexuality is becoming more and more accepted. Divorce and remarriage and adultery and sexual immorality is becoming more and more accepted. Smoking pot and weed and crack and all kinds of drugs are recreationally used, and the drinking of alcohol and the use of bad language is becoming more pervasive. We need the fruit to be seen. We need the will of Christ to be stood for. We need individuals to stand up and be counted for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. That's what God is looking for. That's what Jesus Christ is looking for, because He is not on this earth booming out His will. We are. We are on the earth promoting kindness and goodness and tranquility and peace. We are on the earth trying to tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can have the salvation of their souls. It's the fruit that God wants from this vineyard. And again, there are two types of branches. There is the type, again in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. If we are not bearing fruit, if we are not manifesting that in life, if people are not seeing the light in our life, reflecting the light of Jesus Christ in our life, God says He is going to cut us, and He is going to throw us into a pile, and He's going to burn us. I think the imagery is quite familiar to us, just talking about hell a couple of weeks ago. The branches that do not bear fruit. We are not here just because we're pretty. We're not here just because we flower. We are here to produce fruit. We are here to do the will of Jesus Christ on the earth. But there's this other kind of branch, the branch that bears fruit and is pruned, is disciplined by God so that it might bear more fruit. It's not about us. So much in this life is self-gratification. So much in this life is what am I going to get out of this? How is someone going to pat me on the back? It's not about me. It's about the will of God being accomplished here on the earth. And when we accomplish that will of God, we are the true disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the vine. God is the vine dresser. And we are the branches. Now, if you are not a Christian, if you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you have never attached yourself to the source of life. Jesus is the only source of life. Now, you may have some good things that you've accomplished in your life, but without it being attached to Jesus, the source of life, you may have fruit, and it may look real pretty, but there's going to be a bitterness to it. It's not going to be the fruit that God wants. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to attach yourself to Christ. Become a Christian this morning. If you are one and for some reason have drifted away, or maybe you stopped producing fruit, we would encourage you to change, to repent, while we stand and sing.